It's Monday of Holy Week. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Our Roman station today is Santa Prasede on Esquilino. St. Praxedes is one of the 25 original parish churches of Rome. St. Praxedes was the daughter of the senator Pudens and the sister of Santa Pudenciana. Their family sheltered persecuted Christians in their house at this location where the church was built. When 23 Christians were discovered in their house, they were killed before Praxedes' eyes. She collected their blood with a sponge and placed it in a well, where she herself later was buried. The spot is now marked by a disc in the pavement. When the church was rebuilt in the early 9th century by Pope Paschal I, the relics of some 2,300 martyrs were placed here for safekeeping. In a side chapel, the St. Zeno Chapel, there is kept what is thought to be half of the pillar at which Christ was scourged. It was brought to Rome by St. Helena. Paschal, who did so much in his day to beautify Roman churches, built this chapel in honor of his mother Theodora. She is depicted in the mosaic here with the title Episcopa, not, as some deluded feminists think, because she was a bishop. Episcopa is the feminine form. Episcopa was the honorary title extended to her by the fact that she was the mother of the Episcopus of Rome, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Also here, take note of the tomb by Arnolfo di Cambio for a cardinal, and one by Bernini, which inspired the poet Robert Browning to write, "A Bishop Orders His Tomb." Within the basilica, you see remnants of ancient construction in the 16 granite columns in the nave and the Roman cornices in the architrave. St. Charles Borromeo was once the titular cardinal of this church, and Paul Poupart is now the titular cardinal. From The Life of Christ by Fulton Sheen. To the Greeks who came to see him, Jesus said, "He who loves his life will lose it. He who is an enemy to his own life in this world will keep it, so as to live eternally." No real good is ever done without some cost and pain to the doer. Like the legal impurities mentioned in the Old Testament, the purging and cleansing is done along with blood. Self-expression, or the blind following of instincts, received its death blow in this counsel to the Greeks. The cross put into perspective is self-discipline and mortification of pride, lust, and avarice. Only in this fashion, he said, will hard hearts be broken and harsh characters made peaceful. The Greeks had come to our Lord saying, "We wish to see Jesus," probably because of the majesty and beauty of appearance which they revered so highly as followers of Apollo. But he pointed to his torn and battered self on a hill, and then added that only through the cross in their lives will there ever be beauty of soul in the newness of life. Then he paused for a moment as his soul was seized by a frightening apprehension of the passion and being made sin, of being betrayed, crucified, and abandoned. Out from the depths of his sacred heart welled these words, "And now my soul is distressed. What am I to say? I will say, Father, save me from undergoing this hour of trial. And yet I have only reached this hour of trial, that I might undergo it." These are almost the same words that he used later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, words that are inexplicable except for the fact that he was bearing the burden of the world's sins. The collect from the extraordinary form of the Roman Mass. Oremus. Doc quaesimus omnipotens Deus, ut qui in tot adversis ex nostra infirmitate deficimus, intercedente unigeniti fili tui passione respiremus. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who fail through our weakness in so many difficulties may be relieved through the pleading of the passion of thy only begotten Son, who livest and reignest with God the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.